Part 010. Monday, May 12th. I woke to the sound of birds and for a moment didn't remember where I was. Then I heard the voices of Oliver and Delia. I looked at my watch. I'd taken it off last night, not having bothered to look at it at all since the parachute mine. I'd forgotten to wind it. It was stopped now. Had it been damaged in the blast? I gently wound the watch and, marvelously, it was still working. I wondered what time it was. I heard a clock sound the three quarters. Was it a quarter to seven? Eight. A telephone rang and Mabel answered it after a couple of rings. Taunton 297. Yes, Mr. Scranton, I've some radishes and just a few young lettuces. I agree, not really enough to be worth a trip in the van. Yes. I'll send them to one of the Taunton greengrocers. They won't go to waste. Yes, I'll call next week with what I have then. Goodbye. There was a jug of water, cold of course, and a bowl, and a flannel and towel, so I washed my face and underarms. I quickly dressed, putting on my fresh knickers, and one pair of trousers along with the blouse I'd been wearing. I really would have to find some more clothes, and quickly. Still, I felt optimistic. I'd slept well. I didn't have fresh socks. Another item to find. Clothes weren't rationed, yet. It had taken me only 5 minutes or so to wash and dress, and I skipped down the stairs and said good morning to the Gaffneys. Sleep well? I did. Thank you. Can you tell me what time it is? I forgot to wind my watch, and was worried it was damaged in the blast, but it seems to be working, but I need to set it and check over the next day or two. The clock on the mantel is pretty good. Just coming up on 7. We could put on the wireless if you want a more precise setting at 7. For starters, your clock will serve. I set my watch. The children were finishing their porridge, and Mabel passed me a steaming bowl. There's some stewed fruit for sweetness, and some milk. We don't have a cow, so I'll ask you to be sparing until we get you a ration book. Sometimes I trade some produce for milk with my neighbor, Mrs. Jackson. Thought of getting a cow, but they're big and milking's a heavy job. And one that needs doing every day at a regular time, come rain or shine, with no rest for saints nor sinners. I'll be careful. Tell me what you want me to do today. Do you know how to weed? I can do that. Then I'll send you out to the spinach and cabbages. Watch to see if there are any caterpillars or maggots and let me know immediately. I'd finished my porridge and asked Mabel where the cabbage and spinach plots were located. She led me out the door and pointed toward some rectangles of plants. You'll find a hoe in the tool closet beyond the lavatory. I'll come find you when I'm going into town and we can see about a ration book and maybe some clothes for you. Probably just before 10 o'clock. If you get thirsty or need the lav before then, just come back. Otherwise I'll shout a few minutes ahead of when I want to leave. Thanks. I'll get to work. Do you want the weeds stacked somewhere? Oh. I should have told you. Take a sack and then empty it into that bin over there. We'll try to persuade the rabbits to eat them, else compost what they won't consume. I was glad I had a scarf. I tied it round my head. It would keep my hair tidy and out the way, and provide some shelter against the sun or wind. I think I'll look for a hat of some sort. I managed to fill and empty the sack 3 times before Mabel yelled 5 minute. Part 011. Mabel took me to the municipal buildings, where it took only a few minutes for me to get a ration book sorted out. There was some fuss about the shilling fee for lost ration book and whether bombed out people had to pay it. I told them not to fuss, they might need to check records if I did, I'd pay the shilling to save the time and bother. Relief showed on the face of the woman helping me. Mary Smith's identity card gave Lavinia's address. I mentioned to the registration officer that I just moved to the Ironmongers on Saturday, so it wasn't yet on my identity card. Mabel's farm address was added. The fuss of bothering with the Hollyhock Road address was a nuisance to avoid. I asked about whether I needed to register for national service, apologizing for not doing so in April due to my trials of being bombed out. It turned out there was a desk in the same buildings where I could fill in a form for national service, but the woman clerk there had me note that I was working in agricultural production, and said that I'd be very unlikely to be called up. If I were sent a notice, I could file an appeal here on the grounds my occupation was a listed one. By 11:15, we proceeded to clothing shops, particularly second-hand ones. Mabel, I've some savings, and I've heard rumors clothing will be rationed, so I think I should get as much as I can now. Particularly, I need to have some smalls, some socks, another pullover, a couple of dresses and another pair of shoes. Possibly a hat to keep rain and sun off. Some Wellingtons would be especially useful, Mabel added. Given that wellies were rubber, and generally worn by men, we didn't find any available that fitted me, but by 1 o'clock I had spent about £7.10 on a range of items that filled the pillowcase. I'd had the foresight to bring it with me. I also got a toothbrush, a hairbrush and some toothpaste in boots. I also found some knitting needles in a second-hand store, and a couple of assorted big balls of wool that were apparently from unraveled clothing. All colors and mixed types of wool. But they would do for rough socks. Mabel said, "Are you thinking of heavy socks?" "You guessed. Yes. And I saw a couple of pairs of Wellingtons in the tool closet that I assume were Peter's." "Of course. Yes, with thick socks you could get away with wearing those if it comes on very mucky. Our land isn't badly drained. And we might find you some clogs for when it isn't too bad. Perhaps some ankle boots, though I'll need to keep them well dubbined." "There's a shoe shop in the next street," Mabel suggested, "and I was able to get a pair of boots. Good job too, as things soon became scarcer, and were rationed after June 1st. Later in the year, the point system started, but everything was still hard to find. And expensive." Part 012. We walked back to the farm, that was what Mabel called it, so I would too. Along the way, Mabel said, "I usually cycle into town. Maybe we can find a bike for you somewhere. It'd save a lot of time." I agreed with her in a non-committal way. A bicycle would be helpful, but I'd need to learn how to ride one, and didn't feel like admitting that right now. So I said, "What do you want me to do this afternoon?" "Well, I've got to finish the washing, hopefully before the kids get home from school. I should probably wash some of those second-hand clothes before you wear them, too, even if they won't be dry before morning." "Thanks. That would be appreciated greatly, but it'll keep you busy. I think that there's about an hour more on the weeding of the spinach and cabbages. That'll give you some time to think what you want me to work on after." "Yes. Good idea. But we'd better have a bite and a cup of tea first." Part 013. After we'd eaten some bread and cheese and downed our tea, I headed back to the leafy vegetable patch. I was getting more efficient and filled another 3 sacks with weeds. When I finished, I found Mabel and asked her to come and check my work, which she did. "You've done a great job. Really looks clean. And no slugs or caterpillars." "I didn't see any, and I didn't notice any slime trails, nor any chewed leaves. But they're probably about, if my limited gardening experience is any guide, there are always some lurking somewhere. So what should I do next?" Mabel said, "Since you are here, we might expand the egg and rabbit production. There's the old cow buyer, and we've never really used as such it because cows, as I told you, are a lot of work, and work that has to be done on a schedule. But perhaps you could clear out the buyer to see what space we might use. There should easily be room for more chickens. Or more rabbits. Or both, or even something else. We sort of just put stuff there now, like our bicycles and all the flats and baskets for shipping product and to hold things we've picked overnight until the cart or van come. You know, there's Peter's bike, but it's probably too big for you. Have you got all the planting done that you plan to do? I asked, changing the subject. There'll be the late crop of runner beans to do. Probably a few other things. And we'll need to replant out the leeks I seeded a while ago. I'll go make a start on the buyer, I said. In response, Mabel said, and I'll keep on with the washing and preparing something for our tea. Before dark, I should give you a tour around the property, which should give us a better idea of what to do next. I'm afraid I've been more or less reacting to things. Your coming will force me to be more organized. I hope I'll be a help and not a nuisance. I left the kitchen and went to the tool closet first, as I figured I'd need a good broom, a shovel, and a rake. I found these in the closet, but noticed the closet was an untidy pile of different tools. I made a mental note to tidy up. If we put some nails or hooks in the walls of the closet, we could have everything organized so the tools would be easier to find and also to keep them clean and in good shape. No doubt tools would become more difficult to obtain as the war went on. We'd need to look after those we had, and look for some spares if we could find them. With broom, shovel, and rake, I made my way to the buyer. It had a double door, with a simple latch on the right-hand one that engaged the other. That one had bolts into the floor and the top of the frame. I opened both. Mabel had mentioned there was no electricity, and I hadn't asked about a lamp, so the only light in the buyer came through the open main door. There were a half dozen stalls that occupied one side of the building. On the other side was a wide platform maybe 8 feet deep at a height I could stand below. No doubt hay would have been stored above. Below was clearly for storage of whatever else was needed for looking after feeding the animals. There was a channel in the floor in front of the stalls. I'd need to be careful not to trip over it. This was clearly intended for the muck the cows were expected to excrete, and they would be facing into the stalls. I noticed that there were square doors in the wall at the end of each stall at chest height. No doubt they could be opened to let the cows have light and air. It was pretty dark in the byre. I looked for, but did not find, any evidence that electric light might have been there in the past, or even planned. However, there were a number of hooks, my guess for oil lamps. Electric light would likely save a lot of time fiddling about trying to light lamps if we were to be in here at night. On top of the fiddle, we'd have to be careful about the blackout. That reminded me that I had no torch anymore. I made a note in my small notebook to get one, if I could. I was carrying the notebook in my pocket with a pencil stub. Should get another notebook and some pencils, and a pen would be nice. Lots of things were going to be needed to rebuild my life. Now my eyes were getting accustomed to the gloom, I could see that the square doors in the walls had hinges at the top and bolts in the bottom. There were several on the non-stall side of the buyer too. I undid the bolt on one of them and pushed and it swung outward. I went outside and found that I could swing it right up and the bolt would then engage a hole in a block of wood, thereby keeping it open. Having discovered this, I opened all of them. Shall I call them windows? I had to clamber over some piles of things of all sorts to do this, but having everything open, I could see what I was doing. Now it was clear that the floor was concrete, and seemed in pretty good shape, but now covered in dried mud, straw, sawdust, and other bits and pieces. Noting a set of steep steps at one end of the platform, I decided to work up there first, even though it was fairly dark. Oh, but there was a dormer on this side of the buyer, and it had a door, which I also opened. Clearly the platform was intended for hay and straw, and the door was to allow it to be delivered. With the door open, I could sweep out the platform, which had a solid plank floor. There were piles of rough baskets. Were they bushel baskets? Somewhere from my school days came back the chant about measures. How did it go? 4 gills is 1 pint. 2 pints is 1 quart, 4 quarts is 1 gallon. But wasn't that for liquids? Yes. For dry measure it was 2 pints is 1 quart, 8 quarts is 1 peck, 4 pecks is 1 bushel. There was something about barrels. Oh, yes, 10 pecks made up a barrel. But that was 2.5 bushels. The half would be a nuisance. Better get my mind back to the present. There were several piles of rough wooden flats, probably for shipping fruits and vegetables. There was also some assorted old lumber up here, all in several messy heaps. Some of it could be useful for building animal cages or chicken runs, but a lot might only be good for kindling. Before doing more, I returned to the tool closet, as I remembered seeing some heavy work gloves. I didn't want splinters from the wood. Wearing the gloves, I tossed the wood outside, moved the flats and baskets to one side, then swept the other. There was a lot of dust. I moved the flats and baskets to the cleaner area and swept the other half of the loft, as I decided to call it. Before I did the main level, I'd put my scarf around my face. Maybe get some water to damp down the floor, but that could regenerate the mud. Before I swept the floor, I carried everything that was loose and that I could manage outside into the yard. The weather was fine. I'd need to put the bicycles, which had been in one of the stalls, back inside when I was done, but a lot of things would not come to much harm outside. There were a couple of modest stacks of roof slates. They were heavy. As they were already against the wall, I essentially left them where they were and simply brushed off loose dust, though I did tidy the piles. The slates were stacked on end. That would make it easier to take one or two off. Looking back at the house, I could see at least one place that could use a slate or two. Have to talk to Mabel about that. There were several ladders along one wall of the non-stall side of the byre. I took them outside and checked their condition. Not bad. But a couple of rungs were a bit loose. A wedge or two, plus a coat of paint or varnish would not be amiss. And it would be sensible to hang them on the wall. It shouldn't be too hard to make some sort of hooks for them. Why was I thinking about these things? In my whole life, I'd either done domestic work, servant to the woman who took me in after Granny died or at home for William, or else clerical work. Of course I did so and sometimes knit. But not mechanical things. Perhaps it was the new Mary Smith's inclination. I saw a small workbench below the window under the platform. It was only 4 feet by 2 and very dusty and piled with odds and ends of flower pots and other things. I'd get the worst of the dirt off it and see later how it might serve us. There was one wheelbarrow with a tub and one with a flat deck. I put them outside and gave them a quick swish of the broom to get the worst of the dirt off them. There were some ropes hanging on hooks. I left them there, but wanted to check their condition at some point. If we were going to tackle any roof repairs, I wanted to tie one to the top of a ladder and throw it over the roof so the ladder could be secured. Had I learned about that with the fire watchers? There was also a platform scale. At the time I didn't know the proper name. This had steel wheels that supported a heavy metal plate about 6 inches above the floor. The plate was probably 2 feet by 3. At one end was a post with a balance at the top that had sliding weights. I wasn't about to try to move this, as it probably weighed at least twice as much as I did. It would, of course, be useful to measure our production. I'd need to ask Mabel about it. I heard the children's voices. They came from the house and were obviously going to do their chores. The chicken coop was between the house and the byre, and the rabbits were actually in a 2-story set of cages on the back end of the byre. Between the house and the byre was a wide area about 2 road widths that constituted a sort of yard, probably 70 yards long. Underneath some dust and dried mud, it seemed to have a paved surface. Probably at one time it was busy with farm vehicles and maybe a car. "Mummy said you were cleaning the byre," Delia said.
"Oh.
You have all the doors open." "Yes. I thought I'd call the square one's windows to avoid confusion with the main door and the one upstairs."
"Can we help you?" Oliver asked. "There's lots of things I've not seen for ages."
"Don't you have to look after chickens and rabbits?" I asked.
"Yes, came two disappointed voices. "I'm sure I'll need some help later, when you've finished your chores," I said as brightly as I could. I managed to finish the sweeping by the time the children were ready to help. The pile of dirt and debris was a foot and a half high and about 5 feet long in a long, low pile I'd made at the side of the lane from the house. "What can we do to help?" Oliver asked. "I need to put that wood back upstairs," I said, "but it is pretty splintery. Delia, can you see if there are some more work gloves in the tool closet, or else ask your mother if there are some? I don't want anyone getting splinters." "Oliver, perhaps you can put the bicycles away in the stalls nearest the door. If possible, see if you can get them propped up so each can be taken out without the others having to be moved. We might want to see about some hooks or other means to keep them organized. Then we can perhaps get them in just one stall and have more space for storage." Dad was always going to try to do that, but then he had to go off to the army. "But I'll do my best. Call me when you've had a little try and we can talk about what might work." While Oliver was moving the bikes into the stalls, I sorted some of the lumber, matching up the dimensions so it could be stacked more neatly. Delia came back with two more pairs of gloves. "Mom says to make sure to bring them back to the house, as these are all we have." Delia and I went to look how Oliver was getting on. There were four bicycles, clearly one for each of the Gaffneys. The male pattern largest one would possibly be a challenge for me, though I thought I could make it work if I lowered the saddle to its minimal height and found some bicycle clips. Then I noticed a pair round the crossbar. Good. But I'd have to learn how to ride. "Mary. It's easy to put the two big bikes one each side, and my bike could fit in the middle if we put a wooden bar across the stall with a notch for the handlebars. But Delia's would be in the way. There's lots of space for now, so just use two stalls. I think we'll find a way to put all of them in one stall using an idea like that you've just suggested. But for now I think we'd better put the other things away in case it rains." There was an old door that I'd found and pushed out, and a pair of sawhorses. We set these up outside below the door to the loft, as we had started to call it. Delia passed pieces of wood to Oliver, who stood on the door and passed the wood up to me. It wasn't very fast, but we established a rhythm and soon had all the decent wood very tidily arranged in a compact portion of the loft. Then we carried the door and saw horses inside and set them up as a form of table. "That'll be a help when we have to sort the produce," Oliver said. We didn't have to carry the roofing slates since they were already inside, but we found we could stack them in a corner to use less space. Other things we put in as tightly as we could so the free space was maximized. Mabel appeared and expressed satisfaction. "My word. I'd never realized that there's such a lot of useful space here. We could keep the chicken meal here." "But you'd want a metal bin," I said. "I noticed some rat droppings when I swept." "Yes. Dirty things are a menace. And we'd want two bins so we use the meal in the right order and don't let it go rotten, else one of those nice bins that you load at the top and empty at the bottom. Maybe George, Maud's husband, can help. He runs an ironmongery. Should you have a lock on the buyer? Someone might nick your bikes. I think we have a padlock somewhere. I'll need to get more keys, though, because each of us will need one, and probably a spare to put on a hook in the house. What should we do with my dirt pile? I asked. Probably we can use it for fill to level out some of the plots, as long as we mix in some manure if we plan to plant. For tonight, leave it there and we'll think of where to put it later. But I came to say that tea is ready. I made a shepherd's pie with some mince I got from a neighbor down the road in trade for a couple of rabbits. Shall we quickly put away the ladders and the wheelbarrows and close up? I asked. Children. Take one end of each ladder and take them inside the byre and put them along the wall, Mabel said. As they did this, there were three to do. Mabel and I took in the wheelbarrows and put them in a stall, then started to close the windows. Then we closed the main door and all walked back to the house to wash up for tea. Part 014. After we'd washed up the dishes, Mabel let the children listen to the wireless while she and I did a tour of the property. It was a bit more than 300 yards by 200 yards, and the house was about 5 yards from the road and about 15 yards from the town edge of the property. It had a good hedgerow at the front, back and town sides, and barbed wire on the remaining one. There was a meadow beyond the wire, but dwellings on the town side. The chickens and the byre were back from the road and away from town, so the yard as I thought of it ran at an angle from the house, with the laneway joining it on the side of the house away from town. The land was divided up into plots with paths between, some of which had gravel and informal edging to keep them from becoming too muddy. These paths were just wide enough for a wheelbarrow. It was clear that as much of the land was to be used as possible. "Do you have a plan of the property to manage the crops?" I asked. "We should have, but we've always just managed, Peter and I, by look and feel. But the ministry will probably want something more formal. More work for me, and it won't grow any more vegetables." Peter and Oliver did do a sort of map before Peter joined up. "Maybe I can give it a try. I'm used to fiddly stuff. I quite like detail work. At least as long as it's not all the time and that alone." I almost said I worked with wages there. Joan Smith had worked as a shop girl. I don't know if she was a clerk at all. I'd have to watch myself. Mabel said I'll see what paper we have. Should get some for the children anyway before it gets too scarce. "Yes. I was thinking I need a new notepad. My current one is getting full. And it would be really nice to get a new pen and some ink, as well as a few pencils. Oh. Being bombed out is a lot of work." Part 015. That night, May 12th, Taunton had a bomb fall about a couple of miles away. It was apparently from a fleeing German bomber jettisoning its load to escape a night fighter. At least that was the story as we later heard it. How could anyone be sure even though it was a clear moonlit night? Actually, it turned out to be one of the few bombs that fell in the area during the whole war, though at the time, I assumed from my London experience that everywhere was used to regular raids. Nevertheless, the bang woke all of us up, and we looked out to see if we could see any fire or activity, but despite a full moon, everything was then quiet and after half an hour we went back to bed. I must have been tired from weeding and the work on the byre, because I fell asleep again and was late down to breakfast. "I didn't wake you as I figured the bomb had disrupted us," Mabel said. "As much as I can, I avoid the clock. Our work fills the day, and we might as well get our sleep and not be struggling to wake up as long as we can get everything done. That'll be a new experience for me. I've always had to show up on time for work. But now I've no alarm clock, and the idea of sleeping when I need to is attractive. Though don't think I won't put in the work. From what I saw yesterday, you'll not disappoint," Mabel reassured. At that moment, I realized that I'd been very content in what I'd been doing yesterday. And the organizing and tidying seemed natural to me. Mabel continued, "One of my neighbors came by and said the bomb last night was dropped by a German trying to get away from a fighter. Apparently with the moon, people saw it happen. Nobody hurt, but some houses a couple of miles away damaged, and one had a post office so the manager had to stay up to make sure nobody stole stamps or money. Fortunately he lived in above the shop. You'll forgive me if I consider that rather tame. I'm afraid we got rather hardened to damage in London." "Yes. It's been quiet here. You wouldn't know there's a war on most of the time except for the news and the regulations." "What do you want done today?" I asked, to get back to the present. "I think work the plots along the hedgerow behind the house to the back, then come up the next column of plots back again, weeding as you see fit. If you see anything that needs attention, just do it. For instance, tying up bin poles. I'll trust your judgment on how strictly to weed. It's not worth getting them all. If I think you're going too much one way or the other, I'll let you know, but if we can, I'd prefer to let you get on with things and not be poking my nose in all the time. But do feel free to ask lots of questions. That'll probably help me to become more organized. With Peter away, I find there's too much to think about. I've had to work for bosses who hover, so I hope that works out for us. A hover boss. Like a hover fly. No, I don't want to be that. We both laughed and made our way outside to work. Mabel headed along the roadside of the property. I realized she was going to weed and tidy from the other side of the farm. Part 016. Around 1 o'clock, we found ourselves in adjacent plots and decided to stop for something to eat. As we ate some bread and dripping, Mabel said you might cycle into town to see about some of the things you mentioned you wanted. I'll add a list myself. Oh, I should have told you I'd love to cycle, but I never learnt how. Well, I won't have time to teach you, but the yard here is a pretty safe place to try. The idea is to steer towards the way the bike is falling, though talking about it isn't really any good. It's instinctive once you get the hang of it. Can I start with the women's bike? The crossbar could do an injury. Yes. Do. But pump the tires first. When Oliver gets home, get him to help you. Probably a few short sessions and hopefully you'll manage all right. It turned out that I was up and cycling the yard that very day, but I didn't have good control of the bicycle and I couldn't start or stop smoothly. That took me another week of half to three-quarter hour sessions. Then I took another couple of days to master the swing your leg over the saddle mount for the men's bicycle, which actually was all right for size for me once we had the saddle down. Oliver was a great help. He showed me how to pump tires and we had to fix a puncture in the men's bike, so I learned that skill too. Later, as I was settling down to sleep, I realized I enjoyed working on the bicycles, even though I got dirty hands and had to scrub them afterwards. But that was in the future. After we'd had our lunch, Mabel said she had some mending to do. I asked if she wanted help, but she said there wasn't much, so I suggested I'd try to tidy the tool closet. Oh. I hadn't given that much thought, but with two of us, it would make sense to be able to find things quickly. Yes. That's a good idea. Are there carpentry and other tools about? I thought I'd try to put up some hooks so we could make better use of the walls in the tool closet. Under the stairs, but... Oh, that's an even worse disaster. You must think me terribly disorganized. It's easier for me, nothing much to organize, I laughed. Mabel looked serious. I'm glad you can laugh a bit about it, but really it isn't all that funny. You might not be here if the bomb you were near had been a bit closer. True, but I'm glad I am here, despite the cause. Part 017. Mum. You better come look at this. Mary's done a terrific job of the tools. Oliver's excitement gave me a good feeling, and when Mabel came to look, she seemed genuinely shocked. Oh my! That's wonderful. You've managed to get everything off the floor. That'll keep the metal tools from rusting. And you've oiled them. Where did you get the oil? There was an old turpentine can, but someone had painted oil on it. I think it was used motor oil. There was an oil can too, with a pump, but I was fairly certain that was for the bicycles. Yes. That's for the bikes and for the sharpening stone. But Peter got the motor oil some years ago for just the purpose you suggest of protecting the tools, then he put it away somewhere and couldn't find it. It was in a corner under the stairs. I'll have a go tidying there if you like. But it would be helpful if we could get an electric light rigged so we don't need a lamp. I saw some electrical flex and a fixture and a switch in a box. Peter was going to fix up something. I don't suppose you know how to do it. I've seen it done once, but not done it myself. Perhaps I can set it up, but not connect up until we get someone to take a look. William had got shirty about the lack of light under our own stairs and, despite the fact we rented the house, had had an electrician put in a light. I'd taken time off from work, lied about having a doctor's appointment, which got lots of knowing looks from my colleagues who thought I was expecting. I only got to see what the electrician was doing because it was convenient for him to have me hold his electric torch while he did the work. George should be capable, or at least he'll know someone who is. Which reminds me. Did you notice if we need any tools? I think we'd better start to look for some before they aren't available. I think we can definitely use a new shovel, spade, rake and hoe, and some trowels and small tools if we can get them. The ones you have are serviceable, but new handles, or at least spare handles, would be a good idea. There's room now in the closet for such things. Also some shears for the hedges, the ones you have need new handles and a good sharpening. You've a couple of pairs of secateurs, but I think I'd like to have a pair of my own, which I'll be happy to pay for so they're mine no matter if I get called up and can't stay here. And I think a couple of pruning knives. I think you're using old kitchen knives. Yes. That's true. Well, make a list and we'll see what George can get. We may need to get creative and make or fix. If you see something secondhand you think might work and won't break the bank, just go ahead and buy it. When there was just Peter and I, we could make do, but having you run back and forth to get tools is clearly wasteful. And I'm pretty sure Joe Short, the man who was working for us, took one or two of the better things. Damned thief. I sensed some history, but stuck to the present. I noticed there's a couple of sickles and a scythe. They could use some cleanup, but as far as I recall, there's practically no mowing to do. You've converted just about everything to crops. Yes. Peter said mowing wasn't something he enjoyed, and grass gave a poor return unless you had livestock. Of course, we do have livestock, just small. Part 018. Later that evening when the children were in bed, I asked Mabel, how do you know how much product you've sent to market? Well, for the heavy crops like potatoes and turnips, there's the platform scale in the buyer. We probably should check that it's working properly. It might be worth finding an old tarpaulin to keep dust and dirt out of it, or even an old sheet or blanket, I suggested. Yes. Keep an eye out. What about things like soft fruit? I've a hanging scale with a pan, and there's also a set of balance scales and weights in one of the kitchen cupboards. But some things are measured by count, like the lettuces, though you've got to try to make sure they're all a reasonable size or you get deductions or returns. Do you measure your production? We should, but truthfully haven't, except for our receipt book, but I think we're going to have to now there's the War AG committees. Apparently they can order you what to grow, and if you don't do well, they can take over your land and give it to someone else. Then we'd better do our sums and show them how productive the farm is. From what I see, there's hardly a square inch that isn't growing something. That's true, but they might say it's not what's needed for the war. You don't seem to be growing anything frivolous. There must be plenty of golf courses and cricket grounds wasting space. Mabel laughed, then said those have to do with balls, don't they? Then she was quiet. I sensed she wanted to say something, so I kept quiet too. Mary, when Peter went away about a year ago to the army, he arranged that there'd be a farm worker to help with the labor. Unfortunately, at the end of the harvest, when I looked at my sales book, I realized that it was about a third short of the previous year. Turned out Joe Short, a good name for what he did, was sending stuff, and the best of it at that, to some black marketer. When I figured it out, I talked to Maud and George and they talked to the police. It was tough to figure out exactly what Joe was doing, but some of our flats had been marked and turned up in an investigation elsewhere. For a bit of time, I was a suspect, but the local bobbies knew us and put two and two together, but by then Joe had disappeared. So now you're on your own trying to work the place. Well, I'm hoping you'll make a difference.
So do I. It'll be a new start for me. In more ways than one, I thought.
Part 019. The next Sunday, Mabel joined me in going to the Women's Institute meeting. I got to know the names of some of the ladies, and one of them lent me a pair of knitting needles so I could knit while we discussed other projects. I should have brought mine. There was going to be a jam-making effort at the appropriate time, but sugar and jars had to be organized in advance, and there were forms and regulations. I avoided offering to do anything major, but did volunteer to be a helper for several of the projects. I mentioned I was learning to cycle. Mabel noted how I was very organized, and gave a glowing report of my accomplishments so far. Tea that day was at Maud's house, and Oliver and Delia had gone there after Sunday school. We were able to ask George whether there was any success in finding the tools we wanted. On the Wednesday previous, we'd sent Oliver on his bicycle to deliver the list of things we wanted. I'd added a request for an assortment of nails and screws. George said we could probably find the items you want, but it occurs to me that I've a pile of stuff that has everything you want and maybe more, but got rusted when we had a roof leak back in 37. We wrote off the stock, but I had it put in a corner and forgot about it until last week, just before you asked. It'll take some work, and maybe some fiddling about to put on new handles if they're broken or rotted, but you're welcome to them. Mabel said that's wonderful, George. Are you sure you don't want anything for them? Perhaps some ripe tomatoes in due course, or one of your rhubarb crumbles. But you'll need to work with a wire brush and sand to clean them up, and then likely use a rasp or file to make handles to fit, then rivet the handles. I can show Oliver how to do that if you want.
Can I watch too? I asked.
I'd like to learn, and if the war goes on, women are going to have to do some of those things. I suppose you're right, Miss Smith, Mary. I'm going to have to start looking for likely girls to help in the shop, as Joe and Billy have both said they're going to join up.
Is Billy old enough? Mabel asked.
If his mum consents. I don't know as she will, but he's awfully eager to join the Navy. And our Alfred and James are both fitters in the RAF. At least they're not up in the planes, but they had a fairly hot time last year with the Battle of Britain. They were both over 21, though not by too much, and given they were both pretty well trained on engines of all sorts, it was a proper use of their talents. To change the subject to electricity, do you know anyone who could check if we've set up a light under the stairs properly? I said. We've not connected anything, just got things lined up.
I'll come back with you today.
If it's simple, then I can probably say so. If it needs a fancy connection, I'll see if Burgess can come for a couple of bob and hook things up for you. When George came back with us, he said we'd got things in good shape. This was probably down to Peter, who'd got a 2-pin socket and plug, a switch and a Bennett lamp socket. Mabel remembered he'd said he would wire the socket to the fuse box, which was already under the stairs, then set up the plug to feed the switch and socket. We'd got everything done except the connection to the fuse box. George said the only tricky bit was making sure that there were no loose bits of wire, and one way to do that was to tin the ends of the wire with solder. Oliver said there was a soldering iron, but it was really not for electricals, so we just twisted the multistrand wire. We got an oil lamp and turned off the main switch, then connected the wire from the socket. Dad had some insulated staples, Oliver said. Do you mean these things in this paper packet? Mabel asked him, but George answered instead.
Perfect.
We fastened the socket to the wall, which was wood paneled here, and stapled the wire. Then we fastened the switch and hung the bulb socket from a hook Mabel had already put in place. Moment of truth, George said, and threw the main switch. Nothing happened. Try the light switch, I suggested. Suddenly there was light here. We turned it off and withdrew from the workspace and extinguished the lantern. Thanks, George, Mabel said. Well, you did most of the work, I just kept a weather eye out for trouble. That's still worth a lot. I'll be off then. Maud likes a bit of a sit with the wireless of a Sunday night, and I must say it's something I'm getting to appreciate too. Gets me settled for the week unless old Jerry is up to his tricks. Good night, Uncle George, Delia said as we saw him off. To bed now, you little scoundrels, Mabel said laughingly, and they obliged. After they'd sorted themselves out, Mabel and I sat by the fireplace. It was warm enough that we hadn't lit it, and had the light program on the wireless. At 9 we tuned in the news. There wasn't a lot that caught my attention. There'd been some bombing in the Midlands, but the BBC never gave precise locations. There was some reaction, possibly misleading, about Rudolf Hess parachuting into Britain on May 10th. His real mission was likely being kept hush-hush. Somehow it seemed far away.